So together we'll
recite all the Sanskrit slokas, the first eight, whatever we did. So we can do that, you know, every class, the previous ones, we'll just recite the translation, the Sanskrit, and just read the translation. So it's very beautifying. So let's start with text one. Together we can recite only the Sanskrit. After that, each one of us can go through the English translation.
धर्मक्षेत्रे कुरुक्षेत्रे समवेताय युत्सवा मामका पांडवश्चैव किं अकुर्वत संजया संजय उवाच दृष्ट्वा तु पांडवानीकम् यूयं दुर्योधनस्तदा आचार्यमुपसंगम्य राजावचनमब्रवीत् पश्यैतां पाण्डुपुत्राणाम् आचार्यमहितिञ्चनु व्यूढं द्रुपदपुत्रेण तव शिष्येन धीमता अत्र सुरामहेश्वरीमार्जुनसमायुधि युधानो विराटश्च द्रुपदश्च महारथा दृष्टकेषु चिकित्सानाशिराजस्य वीर्यात् पुरुचित् कुन्तिभोजश्च शैवश्च नरपुङ्गवा युधामन्युश्च विक्रान्ता उत्तमानुजश्च वीर्यात् सौभद्रो द्रौपदीयश्च सर्व एव महारथाः अस्माकं तु विशिष्टाये तानि बोधाद्विजयतमा नायका मम सैन्यस्य सम्यार्थं तान् प्रवीणिते भवान् भीमरीश्वश्च कर्णश्च कृपश्च समितिं जया अश्वत्थामादिकर्णश्च सोमदत्तेस्तथैव च
You can read the English translation for all the eight
words. Okay. First one, Radha will read. Read this English. Dhritarashtra said.
Dhritarashtra said.
O Sanjaya.
O Sanjaya.
After my sons.
After my sons.
And the sons of Pandu. And the sons of Pandu.
And the sons of Pandu.
Assembled in the place of pilgrimage.
Assembled in the place of
pilgrimage. At Kurukshetra.
At Kurukshetra.
Desiring to fight.
Desiring to fight.
Read this. What is this? What did they do?
Okay. Second.
Bhagavad Gita is the widely read.
The second verse.
Sanjaya said, "O King, after looking over the army arranged in military formation by the sons of Pandu, King Duryodhana went to his teacher and spoke the following words.
O my teacher, behold the great army of the sons of Pandu, so expertly arranged by your intelligent disciple, the son of Drupada.
Here in this army are many heroic bowmen equal in fighting to Bhima and Arjuna. Great fighters like Yudhana, Virata and Drupada.
There are also great heroic powerful fighters like Dhrishtaketu, Chekitana, Kashi Raja, Purojit, Kunti Bhoja and Satyam.
There are mighty Yudhamanyu, the very powerful Uttamoja, the son of Subhadra and the sons of Draupadi. All these warriors are great chariot fighters.
But for your information, O best of Brahmanas, let me tell you about the captains who are especially qualified to lead my military force.
They are personalities like you, Bhishma, Karna, Kripa, Ashwatthama, Vikarna and the sons of Somadatta called Burishwara. Who are always victorious in battle.
So for each verse now let's recollect some of the points we discussed. So the first one, so verse number one, what did we discuss?
Instead, how should we study Gita, Bhagavad Gita?
Right.
We should study Bhagavad Gita very scrutinizingly with the help of a person who is a devotee of Shri Krishna.
Okay. And what is the significance of the word Dharma Kshetra?
Dharma Kshetra.
Maybe somebody else.
It's a holy place. And Lord is always present there. So it could influence the righteous people like Pandavas. So like, and then it may favor them.
Okay. So what is the significance of Dhritarashtra asking what did they do?
He is anxious
to know the result. Because it feels like it's a holy place, so it might favor Pandavas.
Okay. And also, how does it, how does the holy place may affect Kauravas?
They may lose a battle, but he wants them to win.
Yeah. So Kauravas also, some of the pious people are there in Kauravas side, right? Dronacharya and Bhishma. So they also may positively get affected, and they may think, okay, should we fight like that?
As Mataji said, the main point Dhritarashtra wanted was, he didn't want the compromise. He wanted, you know, outcome of the battle. So that's why he wanted, you know, for sure, he wanted to know what's going on there.
Okay, first of all, who all read first 8 verses at home for the class?
I didn't read the whole 8.
I read just 2 of them.
Okay. So it'll be nice if you read the verses. Maybe after the class, so you'll know the, I mean, it will stay with you very nicely, whatever points we discuss. And also, for the class which we are going to discuss, you can read like maybe 8 verses like that, text and trap or port. So when we discuss, then you will see like new meanings and all, it will be nice. Like for example, if you are riding together, wife who is not driving can read it aloud in the car, just 20 minutes, you can read all the verses. So you can use the time.
And also in text 1, right, Prabhupada says the reason for the main Kurukshetra war. Did anybody can remember? What was the main reason for the war? Why was the Kurukshetra battle fought? What was the main reason? It's in text 1 purport. Prabhupada very clearly says. If anybody remembers or recollects, they can.
Dhritarashtra wanted his son to be the king. Dhritarashtra wanted Duryodhana to be king, not Pandavas.
Yeah, that may be one reason.
Also, other reason, what does Krishna want
what
to get?
What was Krishna?
Right,
what's
so the Gita can be told.
Remove evil.
No, it's in the last paragraph.
Remove evil.
About
unwanted.
Yeah.
So
you got everybody together.
So it's in the last paragraph, last 4 lines. Prabhupada very clearly says.
As in the paddy field,
the unnecessary plants are taken out. So it is expected from the very beginning of this topic that in the religious field of Kurukshetra, where the father of religion, Sri Krishna, was present, the unwanted plants like Dhritarashtra's son, Duryodhana and others would be wiped out, and the thoroughly religious person headed by Yudhishthira would be established by the Lord. So that was the main reason. He wanted to establish a kingdom by like Yudhishthira, who rules, no? Like Yudhishthira, very pious and religious king.
So what is the significance of the Dhritarashtra saying, Mamaka Pandava?
My sons
and sons of Pandu.
He
separates. It's like my sons and sons. So that shows his partial nature.
Partial mind.
Okay, so next verse, what do we remember? Text number 2. Sanjay is speaking about the war, right? So he's saying that King Duryodhana went to his teacher and spoke the following words. Who is his teacher?
Dronacharya.
So what words did he speak? Text number 3.
He's calling this text 2, he's calling him the king, even though he's not the king. Right?
Yes, correct.
So
yeah.
That is something Gaura is doing because he's already anxious, the Dhritarashtra. So he's just kind of saying, kind of in a way, we are assuring him by not assuring him or something like that, right?
Uh-huh.
Saying, oh, don't worry, you'll be the king or something.
So indirectly he's trying to encourage him. That's a good point. So next verse, what is significant point we discussed?
is trying to make sure that Dronacharya's student is there on the other side. So he's telling that, see, your student is there. Now, three things I think you said.
Yeah.
One is ensure that we fight fiercely.
Yeah.
Second is don't do the similar thing again with Pandavas.
Yeah,
don't be compassionate with them. Mercy, don't have mercy.
Yeah.
Third one is if you do like this, we'll lose the war.
Yeah.
So we have to.
Right. Yeah.
He is being a little more diplomatic with him by using his name first, then all the others.
Yeah, he says son of Drupada instead of his name.
Yeah.
His name is
Drishtadyumna.
Yeah, that's a good
and
point.
And also to incite the anger.
Okay.
Right, they we went through the story, so that was the main reason he's pointing as son of Drupada.
Mm.
And also he's finding the mistake with
Dronacharya.
Right, that's the main thing. He's finding a mistake that you committed a mistake, now don't do that.
So the next verse, text number 4. Now Duryodhana started to speak about Pandava army, right? So he was comparing everyone with Bhima and Arjuna. And he mentioned some names like Duryodhana, Virata and Drupada. Right? And he compared with Bhima and Arjuna because everybody knows about their power. So they are equally powerful. That's what he meant to say. Text number 5. There are many other heroic fighters also. Yeah.
And what was the reason Prabhupada says? Why should we... This is all about Bhakti Yoga, right? The Bhagavad Gita is mainly about pure devotional service. But here we are talking about, you know, the different fighters, right? So how is it, how does it help? What's the use of, you know, naming these people or reading about
what's
these
the significance
people? What's
of
the significance?
Saying these names?
Relationship with Krishna.
Mm.
Even devotees, thinking of devotees also is like,
you can give
thinking
one
of holy name like service God.
So main thing is Krishna and his devotees and his paraphernalia. Anything related to Krishna, it has significance. It purifies the heart. That's the main reason, you know, Prabhupada, it's all the fighters are, and each one of us is very powerful fighter. We cannot even imagine actually. Later we'll know, how we discuss few of them, but each one is very, very powerful.
Because they are all connected to Krishna, so with that, we are also getting purified through that. So what did we discuss in this regard about something we discussed, right? Two types of renunciation.
Yukta Vairagya.
Yeah.
Falgu Vairagya.
Nobody is writing notes then.
Falgu Vairagya.
Like. Yeah, okay. So what is Yukta Vairagya? So, Soumya Mataji, you remember?
Yeah. I'm taking notes. I'm trying to recollect.
So Yukta means to join. Yeah,
connected.
Exactly. So the easy to remember if you know the meaning. Yukta means to join. So in connection with the Lord, renunciation in connection with the Lord. Now what does
more complete and practical.
So what does it mean? Like
we took the example of the mic being used for Krishna discourses or anything.
Right.
So
proper way of renunciation is to use everything in its service to Krishna, in its connection to the Lord. That is the Yukta Vairagya, which is perfect and complete. And Falgu Vairagya?
Saying that this is not material, let's not use it.
Yes.
This may again take us away from bhakti. So
yes.
Which is Falgu and
which is incomplete and artificial.
Not practical.
See, for example, impersonalists or Mayavadis, they say, oh, I should not eat tasty food. I should not eat different varieties of food. But how long can we practically live without eating? Right? So that is artificially renouncing things. But devotees nicely make bhoga and offer to Krishna and eat prasadam. So that is proper renunciation.
But I have a question here. But things which are not right. We can't say that it is Vairagya and then
that's right.
It is the Yukta Vairagya and do it nicely.
Exactly. That's
right?
Why after this, it's
so
where we discuss, right? This should be properly guided. It's not based on our mental concoction. Okay, now I can take anything and connect to Krishna and use it, right? So it should be properly guided. So for us, our Acharya Srila Prabhupada has given like what is proper, what is not proper. So we'll do certain things and we'll do within that jurisdiction. When we become very advanced, then Krishna can inspire us also how to use certain things in Krishna service. Then uh, Okay, now Duryodhana is starting to talk about his own army. Now he's saying, okay, let me tell you about my army and who all are qualified in my army. So text number 8, he says about you, Bhishma, Karna, Krupa, Ashwatthama, Vikarna, son of Somadatta, and they are all victorious in the battle. So there was some diplomacy with respect to who should be named first. Right? So what is the tactic Duryodhana uses?
He uses Bhishma's name first, Dronacharya's name first, followed by Bhishma and Karna and others.
Right. Why?
To give him importance.
Based on world.
Yes. So because Dronacharya is a Brahmana, both are very experienced. If one person say, other person may think differently. That's what Duryodhana is thinking. So he uses Dronacharya's name first because he's a Brahmana. Everybody accepts Brahmana to be superior when compared to Kshatriyas. So there will be no conflict. So he will be safe. That's why he uses the name Dronacharya first. And we talked about the different personalities little bit, Vikarna and Ashwatthama, everyone, right? So now we'll continue with today's section, text number 9. So Duryodhana is continuing about his army.
We can all recite together.
Anneja bhava sura madarte tyakta jivita nana shastra praharana sarve yudham visharada.
You can read the English translation. We'll continue.
There are many other heroes who are prepared to lay down their lives for my sake. All of them are well equipped with different kinds of weapons and all are experienced in military science.
So in the text 8, right? So first he glorified all Bhishma, Karna. They are all Maharathis. We'll come to that later. I will tell you the why. Who are called Maharathi, Satirathis, like, you know, description. So here in the 8, all glorified, you know, all Maharathis and all. So here, you know, as I said, he is so diplomatic. So here he is glorifying others also, you know. It's a tendency, right? If we glorify somebody in front of us and the others may feel, you know, kind of let down. So that's why, you know, Duryodhana is using the tactic to glorify others in this. So Mataji, you can read the English purport also.
As far as the others are concerned, like Jayadratha, Kritavarma and Shalya, all are determined to lay down their lives for Duryodhana's sake. In other words, it's already concluded that all of them would die in the battle of Kurukshetra for joining the party of the sinful Duryodhana. Duryodhana was, of course, confident of his victory on account of the above-mentioned combined strength of his friends.
So, do you know how many people died in Kurukshetra war?
640
million people. How many crores is that? Crores of people.
64 crores.
64 crores people in 18 days. So Prabhupada, in one of the lecture, he says it's, you know, bigger than whatever war we have seen, the world wars we see, right? So it's bigger than that. This is because this is Mahabharat, right? Bharat was, right now Bharat means it's just India. Mahabharat means previously it was the whole planet or whatever, whole planet, earth planet. So everybody took side. So everybody, Krishna made sure everybody came to one place, Kurukshetra. And, you know, one stone, everybody were, you know, irreligious people, everybody got killed. So that was the one thing. So in this we can, Prabhupada in different lecture, he talks about like how, you know, the military, how they divide, in those days, how it was divided, the military formation. Or the, right now these days we have, you know, commander, lieutenant, like that, right? So that those time they had something, so you can make a notes of it. This is useful information. So there is a group called Ardha. So those group of people, they need help to fight. They cannot even fight alone. So they need somebody, like a group, they go and fight. Individually they cannot fight with other warriors. So that is one classification. That's how it's classified. And this classification is based on their capacity and how much powerful or, you know, valor, how much powerful they are. And the next one is Yodha. They can alone, they can fight with another warrior. So single, like, you know, single, they can fight with other warrior. They don't need any help from the others. Then Atirathi, that's the next classification.
Oh, so these are different categories of fighters, basically grades of fighters. So there is a name for them and they, based on the their ability to fight and the category, and there's some description about them. It's just details
classification
about
of the warriors. Yeah,
similar how to how the classification we have, like for example, the soldier, there is a lieutenant, there is a commander-in-chief, commander, like that. They're just details. It will not be asked in the exam, but it's for information.
Then it's called Ati, because these are going to mention in the translation somewhere, like Atirathi, right? It says Atirathi. So Atirathi means a person who can fight 10,000 soldiers at a time. You can imagine, just one soldier, he can face 10,000 soldiers at a time. He can shoot that many arrows and he can fight continuously. And Maharathi means 60,000 soldiers. I'm pretty sure we cannot, you know, conceive, but that's what it is. Maharathi. And who are the examples of Maharathis? Any examples, you know?
Bhishma, Karna,
Arjuna. So, Kaurava side, there were many. Bhishma, Karna, Ashwatthama,
Dronacharya.
Right, you know, there are the four. But on the Pandava side, there was only one. Arjuna. So that's what Arjuna is, that's why the Duryodhana is so confident.
Who are the four there on the side?
Bhishma, Drona, Karna, Ashwatthama.
Ashwatthama.
Yeah. So they're all Maharathis.
So one point will Prabhupada says is the significance of this word, Tyakta Jivita. This is the second, last two words in the second line of the Sanskrit, right? Tyakta Jivita means prepare to risk life. Actually, like now we are not reading word to word. Usually, like for example, when you personally read, like if you read the Sanskrit and then read the word to word, then you will be able to slowly understand the meaning of Sanskrit words and your pronunciation, everything also. So now we are, because of lack of time, we are not reading it, but you can do it at your practice. So Tyakta Jivita means, Prabhupada is translating as, prepare to risk life. So Jivita is life, Tyakta means ready to give up. So Duryodhana is glorifying his soldiers that these are all ready to give up their life for my sake. So there are two meanings to this. One is to say that okay, they are supporting me completely. And the second meaning is that he is foretelling that they are all going to die. He knows intuitively or subconsciously, he knows that they are all going to die. Right? So that's the meaning Prabhupada tells me. And the other thing is, this, as Prabhu was saying, that Duryodhana was so confident because of such strong like Maharathas on their side, because of their power, he's very confident they are going to win. So Prabhu was giving a comment in that, in his explaining that Duryodhana is typical materialist. So materialists usually, they count all these positions and they think, okay, I'm going to win. Right, so he completely discredits the presence of Krishna and how he, that would completely ruin the whole calculation. So then in that regard, some that pastime is narrated where when Pandavas and Kauravas, it's decided that the war is going to happen. So then Arjuna comes from Hastinapura to Dwaraka to meet Krishna. And then say, when Duryodhana also hears from some messengers that okay, Arjuna is going to go to Krishna, he's going to ask him something, oh, I will also go. So he also, Duryodhana also goes, and they both arrive with, actually Duryodhana arrives little early, Krishna is lying down taking rest. So Duryodhana arrives little early and being puffed up, he goes and sits next to Krishna's head. But Arjuna also comes little later, and then being a humble servant, he like chooses to sit at lotus feet of the Lord. Then Krishna opens his eyes and naturally we see the right in front what is there. So he sees Arjuna. And then he asks Arjuna, oh Arjuna, why you have come? Tell me how I can help you. Then Duryodhana immediately starts saying, no, I came first. You should give preference to me first. No, but still I saw him first. I should ask him. Then finally Krishna says, no, still Arjuna is younger. So I should give him chance first. So then he asks, then Arjuna says, okay, now war is going to happen. So I want you to be on my side. So then Krishna says, then Krishna actually says, two choices. Either I can be on one side, or the whole of my army will be on one side. And when I am in their side, I am not going to lift any weapon. I am not going to fight anything. I am just going to be there. So you can choose. Then Arjuna naturally chooses Krishna because he's so dear friend. Like, okay, Krishna, I want you. Duryodhana internally was actually anxious whether Arjuna will choose Narayana Sena and I will be finished. But then he becomes sarcastically happy when Arjuna is like, oh, Arjuna, he doesn't know how to, choose the best thing. But then he was happy, okay, I got the right thing. Then he was so happy, I got Narayana Sena, everything. So because there also uses his material calculation. Oh, okay, so many numbers of people are there. So definitely I'm going to be victorious. But actually, that's the word used in the next verse. It comes like aparyaptam, immeasurable, right? Duryodhana says that my army, which is led by Bhishma, is immeasurable. So, Prabhu was saying that actually the only immeasurable factor there in the whole battle among all the soldiers is Krishna. Because he's unlimited Supreme Lord. Right, and without even taking a weapon, he did so many things to make victory towards Pandavas. So actually, practically, if we have to think about apply this principle, we can see, like, as we practice devotional service, gradually we will see, even like we are so, I mean, especially when compared to the people we have to face at work, materialists, right, whom we have to face, we seem to be singled out, like, okay, one person against so many odds. But still Krishna is on our side. So victory eventually will be ours if we stay on side of Krishna. But initially sometimes that faith will be tested. It's like, okay, you know, like our managers, they are not maybe devotees. But then we have to submit to them. Sometimes we feel like, oh, why he's a non-devotee? Why I should? You know, our ego comes up in a different way. Actually, these are all things for us to become humble. Right? Krishna will arrange different things for us to become humble. But eventually we should know, in a sense, victory will be ours if we are on Krishna's side. So we should not be worried about, anxious about numbers. Actually, Prabhupada said, like, Krishna consciousness movement is so powerful that we can take over all the world. We can make everyone Krishna conscious. Whole world can become Krishna conscious. Then Prabhupada also said, but no, people will not take it. So always, the people who are genuinely interested in Krishna consciousness will be very less when compared to the rest of the crowd. It's like, example is given, like diamond is there, real diamond is there, and some fake ornaments also there. How many people you will see who will be coming in line to purchase the real diamond when compared to people who want to purchase fake things just to show off and be satisfied, right? So when there is real quality, and also that quality requires so much sacrifice. It's not like I sit one day and then I get pure devotional service, right? I mean, we have to apply ourselves and we have to go through the process, go through the rigor, and so many times we have to prove to Krishna that I want him only, not anything else, right? So with so much test, everything we have to go through, that price we have to pay, right? So that's why Prabhupada is saying it's very rare. So that's why, but at the same time, Prabhupada said he created this ISKCON where all these like-minded people come together. That is where they get the strength. Every day in the morning and evening, they get together in the temple, so they get all the strength to face the world during the day. So Prabhupada said it's like a sandwich. There is a bread in top, bread at the bottom, and middle there is some kind of mixture, okay. Right? So like that morning, there is a morning program, Mangala Arati, starting with Mangala Arati, chanting everything, and then work, you can go face the world, come back and attend Bhagavad Gita class, Gaura Arati, then sleep peacefully. So that's how we can sustain our life against all odds. Yeah.
Also, this we can quote 1878, right? But last week also we quoted this verse. Uh-huh. Wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, there will be victory. 1878. So we can mark that reference. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna. Go to 10.
Okay. So we'll decide next verse. Text number 10. Aparyaptam tatasmakam balam bhishma virakshitam. Paryaptam tvaidam etesam balam bhima virakshitam.
Our strength is immeasurable and we are perfectly protected by grandfather Bhishma.
whereas the strength of the Pandavas, carefully protected by Bhima, is limited.
You can read.
Herein, an estimation of comparative strength is made by Duryodhana. He thinks that the strength of his armed forces is immeasurable, being specifically protected by the most experienced general, grandfather Bhishma. On the other hand, the forces of Pandavas are limited, being protected by a less experienced general, Bhima, who is like a fig in the presence of Bhishma. Duryodhana was always envious of Bhima because he knew perfectly well that if he should die at all, he would only be killed by Bhima. But at the same time, he was confident of his victory on account of the presence of Bhishma, who was a far superior general. His conclusion that he would come out of the battle victorious was well ascertained.
So here, Duryodhana, right, as we discussed, he's saying his strength is immeasurable because of Bhishma, right? And also in Prabhupada, he's clearly saying Bhima is like a fig in the presence of Bhishma, which is nothing. So he is the commander in general on Pandava side, and Bhishma is the commander in general. No, sorry, Bhishma is on the Kaurava side. So here, the main theme for this, Prabhupada says, you know, Duryodhana is classifying Pandavas, is comparing, and you know, is doing the analysis. Our strength is their strength, right? So in that, Prabhupada also quotes. So the Kaurava side, they had 11 Akshoini. It's again, it's a battalion. I could relate like that. Battalion means a group of fighters, which consists of. So one Akshoini, it consists of 21,870 chariots. It's all numbers, and again 21,870 elephants. These are all fighters group, like how one Akshoini makes up. And 65,000 horse fighters who ride on the horses fight, and 100,000 foot soldiers. So you can imagine one Akshoini. So Kauravas had 11 Akshoini, and Pandavas had only 7. So there only you can see the right number difference. So obviously, you know,
how many did they have?
7 on the Pandavas. Kauravas, they had 11. So just by, you know, as we discussed, Duryodhana is all about numbers. So he saw his army like a bigger army. So naturally, you know, he thought, you know, he's going to be the, like, the, he's going to win the war. And also here, you know, we can talk a little about Bhishma, because he's one of the Mahajans, where, you know, Prabhupada has recommended, or Acharyas recommend, that we have to follow him actually in footsteps of Bhishma, because he gives us the, he was the one who spoke about Niti Shastra, all those things, right? So we have to follow in his footsteps. So Bhishma, as we know, his name, he got his name because he made a terrible
vow.
What vow he made, Bhishma?
He will not marry and become king and associated with the Indraprastha.
He will protect the king all the time. So he will never become king, and he will always remain celibate, right? And he was in which varna? He's a Kshatriya. So for a Kshatriya to make that vow, it's a terrible thing. For a Brahmanas to be a celibate, it's a natural, right? Brahmana varnas, it's a natural.
Kshatriyas are mainly dominated by passion.
Passion.
So passion, it's very difficult to control this thing. But whereas Brahmanas primarily situated in goodness, it's for them, it's okay. So being a Kshatriya, for him, as Prabhu is saying, being Kshatriya, for him to take this vow is very terrible.
It's a very terrible, right? Yeah.
Who are the other Mahajans?
They're like Sukadeva Goswami. There are 11.
Oh, yeah. So 12.
When you're saying terrible means like not ugly
or something. Terrible means like very
which you cannot, you know, conceive, like, you know, very
impossible kind of thing.
For, yeah, you can put it impossible, yeah, kind of
thing.
Okay, so here we can see that, you know, the Duryodhana is just considering Bhishma and his army, but he is missing altogether Krishna, who is the real immeasurable force. So that's the main point from this.
So was Bhima the general of the army, I think it was Dushyadyumna.
Yeah, Dushyadyumna is the one who arranged everything.
Arranged the army. Okay. Yeah.
But is what is
it? Bhima was the why Duryodhana was afraid of Bhima, because Bhima can only kill Duryodhana.
Right.
So that's why maybe he is protecting him.
Even protected. Bhishma is not the general. They are just
taking care of. So essentially, primary persons in both sides. So he's telling he is Bhima is protecting their army and Bhishma is protecting my army. But Bhishma is very powerful, so this is better than this. So some of the points we discussed is this first word, aparyaptam, right? Aparyaptam means immeasurable. So here we see there are play of words. See, the aparyaptam is used as immeasurable in the first line, and the same word is used, paryaptam, as the third line as limited. Mm-hmm. So aparyaptam, Bhishma is aparyaptam, immeasurable, whereas Bhima, because it's limited, paryaptam. So, and another, there are two meanings to this word aparyaptam. One is immeasurable, which Prabhupada is given here, saying, Duryodhana is saying, okay, Bhishma is very powerful, we cannot even count this, whatever glories he has. Another meaning for this is, it's insufficient.
Not enough.
Not enough. So even though, so why it's not enough is, because Bhishma has a favorable attitude towards Pandavas. So in a way, Duryodhana is saying, okay, actually, Bhishma is insufficient. Even though he is there, it's insufficient because he may actually show favor to Pandavas. So there are two words. But he didn't mean it that way, but it could be understood this way. That's what Acharyas have told. Then other thing is, so Bhishma, Bhima and Duryodhana specifically have very significant rivalry. Essentially, we see that usually when two people do a particular task together, that's when actually envy becomes more. Like, for example, let's say devotees, right? Somebody is doing making garlands, somebody is doing book distribution. I may really appreciate person who is making garlands. It's like, oh, wow, very nice. But the same person starts doing book distribution with me, then competition starts. Okay, how many books did she distribute versus me, right? So envy becomes more when the category of the action is same, similar. So, because Bhima and Duryodhana, they both are into this Gada Yuddha. Only they both are very prominent fighters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why Bhima has specific, or rather Duryodhana has specific envy towards Bhima.
Mm-hmm.
And also Bhima takes 3 woes before the Battle of Kurukshetra regarding Kaurava army. That's why he's even more Duryodhana considers him to be very dangerous person. The 3 woes are, first he says that I'm going to kill all the 100 Kauravas myself. So that's why, as Prabhu said last time, that even though there were many times where Arjuna, Yudhishthira, they were about to kill Kauravas, but because of this woe, they just left them. So that Bhima will come and finish his woe. That's the first woe he took. The second woe he took is that he says that I'm going to tear open Dushyasana's chest and take the blood and wet Draupadi's hair. Because Dushyasana, he took Draupadi by the hair, pulled by hair. Draupadi said, I'm not going to tie my hair until it's treated with, washed with Dushyasana's blood. So Bhima promised, I'm going to do. And the third woe Duryodhana takes is that I'm going to break Duryodhana's thigh. Because he makes a vulgar comment saying, Draupadi, you come and sit here, sit on the lap. So then Bhima takes a vow at that time, I'm going to break this thigh. So then that's why Duryodhana is even more like, he knows, if at all I'm going to die, Bhima is the only one who, in whose hands I'm going to die. So that's the point.
And also there is one in Srimad Bhagavatam. So Parikshit Maharaj, right? He compares like how his grandfather's, like who was Parikshit Maharaj? He was son of? Arjuna is the grandfather.
Yeah.
Abhimanyu. Yeah. He is the son of Abhimanyu. When he was killed, you know, he was trying to kill, right? Who tried to kill him?
Ashwatthama
tried to kill him using this Brahmastra, right? So he compares here, you know, he says, Parikshit Maharaj says, all the Pandavas, they are like a small fish. And Bhishma, all the Maharathi, like Bhishma, Drona, everybody, is like a Timingla. And Kurukshetra war is like an ocean. So in that, Timingala can easily swallow
small fish.
Small fishes. So he is comparing how Pandavas, they were nothing, you know, they were not even competitor for Kauravas in a war. But still they were victorious. Parikshit Maharaj is saying, still my grandfather, they came out victorious.
Mm.
What's the main reason for that?
Krishna.
He says very, very clearly says, yeah, because Krishna was present on their side. So it's an analogy Parikshit Maharaj quotes in Srimad Bhagavatam.
Mm.
And also Prabhupada quotes in a different lecture, all like Bhishma, it applies for us also. So even if we can take our, you know, possessions, maybe very high paying jobs, our friends, relatives, everybody is compared to zero. Everybody, whatever you take. So in this also, Prabhupada compares, Bhishma is also like a zero. Only when we add Krishna, who is one, then only it becomes anything, right? You can have a million zeros, like, we can have 2,000 zeros, 100 zeros, but this finally end result is zero. But only when you add one, then only it's valuable. So same thing here. So Duryodhana had everything, 11 Akshoyini, the crew, the right warriors, everybody. So it's all about numbers. But Krishna was not there. So the end result was zero. So Prabhupada mentions in other lectures. So you can talk next one.
Text number 11. Give this one, please. Ayaneshu sa sarveshu yata bhagam avastita Vishwameva viramshantu bhavanta sarvayevahi.
All of you must now give full support to Grandfather Bhishma. As you stand at your respective strategic points of entrance into the phalanx of the army, Duryodhana, after praising the prowess of Bhishma, further considered that others might think that he had been considered less important. So, in his usual diplomatic way, he tried to adjust the situation in the above words. He emphasized that Bhishma Deva was undoubtedly the greatest hero. But he was an old man, so everyone must especially think of his protection from all sides. He might become engaged in the fight and the enemy might take advantage of his full engagement on one side. Therefore, it was important that other heroes not leave their strategic positions and allow the enemy to break the phalanx. Duryodhana clearly felt that the victory of the Kurus depended on the presence of Bhishma Deva. He was confident of the full support of the Bhishma Deva and Dronacharya in the battle, because he well knew that they did not speak a word when Arjuna's wife Draupadi, in her helpless condition, had appealed to them for justice while she was being forced to appear naked in the presence of all the great generals in the assembly. Although he knew that the two generals had some sort of affection for the Pandavas, he hoped that these generals would now completely give it up, as they had done during the gambling performances.
Very nice. So why Bhishma took the... So here, again Duryodhana is glorifying, other than Bhishma, he is trying to glorify other people who are, you know, who have taken that strategic points. So previously, you know, in wars, that's how they used to arrange armies. For example, the Chakravyuha, right? We know that how it was arranged. So the Abhimanyu, Arjuna taught him only to how to enter. He was only 16 years old, Abhimanyu. So Arjuna taught him how to enter Chakravyuha. He didn't teach him how to come out. So that's why he was killed. Actually, he didn't know how to come out. So that's one point, you know. They used to arrange like that. They have some eagle formation. So here he's saying, you know, you should all support Bhishma Deva. So they had different strategic points. And the other point is, yeah, he was confident, like, you know, when they were during that gambling, right? They never spoke up, even Bhishma, Dev, Dronacharya. So Duryodhana is confident that this time also, you know, they will not be partial, or we will support full wholeheartedly, they will support Duryodhana, that they are going to fight with him.
So in one way, Duryodhana knows that Bhishma is the main power for his army, right? So he wants to somehow make sure that he is protected, like nothing happens to him. Because if he dies, then everything is finished. So that's why he is putting all the focus on Bhishma and is telling everyone, in one way, as Prabhu said, like he's also encouraging everyone, like, okay, my name also Duryodhana spoke, right? So then they will also feel part of the game. At the same time, he's also telling that Bhishma is most important, so please help him. Make sure you cover the ground.
So here, Duryodhana is speaking to Dronacharya, right?
Yeah.
So, like, it's one to one, right?
Yeah, but while you're speaking, you talk to everyone. You can talk, right?
Make sure,
all of you make sure that...
Bhishma.
Yeah, protect Bhishma Dev, yeah.
Okay, so
you
can...
That's
all? Yeah. You can go to text 12. Tasya sanjaya narsham
kuru vridha pitamaha simhanadam vinayajyai sankam tadamo pratapavan.
Then Bhishma, the great valiant grandsire of the Kuru dynasty, the grandfather of the fighters, blew his conch shell very loudly, making a sound like the roar of a lion, giving Duryodhana joy. The grandsire of the Kuru dynasty could understand the inner meaning of the heart of his grandson Duryodhana, and out of his natural compassion for him, he tried to cheer him by blowing his conch shell very loudly, befitting his position as a lion. Indirectly, by the symbolism of the conch shell, he informed his depressed grandson Duryodhana that he had no chance of victory in the battle because the Supreme Lord Krishna was on the other side. But still, it was his duty to conduct the fight, and no pains would be spared in that connection.
What is the symbolism of conch shell?
Conch shell?
Symbolism. What is that symbolism? Why blowing a conch is
yeah.
a...
So it is said that essentially it helps encourage the soldiers in the fight. It's like, you know, it stirs up the anger and passion. So when that sound, that's why it's emphasized, like the sound vibration is so powerful that it basically somebody is passive, like, or rather trying to sleep, right, in the war. Then when that sound comes, then they immediately be like, now it's time for me to fight. It's like that.
So basically, to lift the spirits, right?
Yeah, but the sentence is saying opposite, actually. The symbolism of the conch shell, he informed his depressed grandson Duryodhana that he had no chance of victory.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to cover now, the different points in the purport. Prabhu will speak and then I'll...
So the main, the reason was, you're right, so he blew the conch shell, so all the other soldiers also, they can, you know, lift the spirits. So can anybody think of... any practical things, you know, where the sound affects, you know, any very loud, right? No, how we encourage people just by making loud sound, all those things.
Right.
So I remember when I was reading this, I remembered, you know, once I went to the cricket match. It's in Bangalore Stadium. It was between, I think, Australia and India. I think very crucial match. You know, they had a lot of runs, something last ball or something they were bowling. So people start making, you know, when bowler starts running, so they start, you know, to cheer up. So there are two things happens in that. What happens? One is to
cheer up
the
team, and then depress the other team.
Yeah. So the other guy who are, you know, alone, if they don't have many supporters, right? So it will shatter their hearts. So same thing here, you know, to just make everybody, you know, cheer up the Bhishma. He didn't even talk a single word, even after he glorified so much Duryodhana. He didn't talk a single word. He just started blowing his conch shell. Then also Duryodhana here to cheer him, right? So Duryodhana, when he saw the army of how it was, you know, Drupada Dushyadumna was arranged the Pandavas army so expertly. So also that time he got a little bit nervous. So that's one more reason why it was blown, to cheer him, Duryodhana also.
Yeah.
So he knew exactly, Bhishma Dev knew that.
So like Bhishma Dev knew like how, you know, typical materialists, what they act as if, you know, they're confident and they got everything sorted out and they're going to win. Like we see face to face, like we can see as if when we see them, we feel like, oh wow, they got everything in control and, you know, everything is in place. The moment they go home or internally, you can see actually they are feeling very insecure because it's all artificial, whatever, right? Made up things. It's not genuine. So like that, Duryodhana so-called, you know, so far he was so confident. Okay, you know, I have so many warriors and so many people who are going to help me. Seemingly, he was so confident. But Bhishma Dev understands, actually, he is very depressed inside. So that's why to encourage him also, as a grandfather, he started blowing the conch shell without even saying a single word. And the point Prabhu was asking is to like why Prabhupada in the purport, he says that why he is saying that there is no chance, indirectly why is he saying there is no chance for victory for Duryodhana. So Bhishma Deva is the greatest devotee of the Lord. So he knows wherever Krishna is, that is where it's going to be victory. So one way he is encouraging his grandson, in another way he knows what's going to be outcome.
It's like it seems the it's so powerful. It's like a beware kind of a thing. Like beware,
yeah.
Duryodhana. Even though you're doing it, just beware.
Yeah.
Of like so coming like that, right? So powerful.
Yeah.
It could mean both ways.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Encouraging him, but at the same
yes,
time giving
yes.
me like a cautious.
Right.
Cautious.
Right. So that's what our acharyas have explained. There are two meanings to that. Knowing the inner meaning of. So that's what, that's where the significance of our acharyas comes. It's like, because when, even if we know Sanskrit little bit or something, we may understand literal meaning. But nobody will be able to understand what is their inner heart, how they are, what is their mood, why they are doing certain things. These only, like realized souls with revelations can say. So that's why we just hear from them. Then we can go get deeper nectar about the pastimes. It's like, oh, for example, right? Why Bhishma Deva, if he is a Mahajan, he is a pure devotee of the Lord, why he had to stay in Kaurava's side? So that's a very, very puzzling situation. Nobody understands. Only acharyas, when they explain, like, what is his inner purpose, why he did that, then we can understand and appreciate Bhishma Deva even more. Hopefully, you all know by that, by now, we all know, right? Why Bhishma Dev went on Kaurava side?
Because he is about to protect Hastinapur and the kingdom.
Okay.
So whoever is associated with that chair.
King, yes. So yes. So that is one external meaning.
Mm.
So this is just he, because he took the vow that he is going to be loyal to the king, that he chose that side. That is externally he did that.
Even if you are very powerful, if you choose the wrong side, you
exactly.
are
that
to
was
choose
the
right action.
So this is the inner meaning. Inner meaning is the Bhishma Dev knew Krishna wanted to show to the whole world that even if somebody is as powerful as Bhishma, if he is on the other side, wrong side, he is going to lose. So in order for Krishna to show that example, Bhishma Dev chose to stay on the opposite side of Krishna. So these are two meanings. So external meaning, everybody understands. Inner meaning, internal meaning, we'll get to know later, like through acharyas.
Kiran Prabhu, is your question answered? Or?
Yeah, it's answered.
And another point, it said that actually by blowing conch shell, Bhishma Deva is actually eager to hear Krishna's conch shell. Because after this, now Pandavas are going to blow the conch shells. So the devotee is eager, now, okay, now enough talking, so let's get to the business, it's like that, yeah. See, now we will see actually now, all the sounds start coming now. Text number 13.
तथाशंकस्य वीर्यस्य पनवानकगोमुखा सहस्यैवाभ्यहन्यन्ता ससब्दस्तु मुलो अभवत्.
After that, the conch shells, drums,
bugles,
trumpets and horns were all suddenly sounded, and the combined sound was
tumultuous.
So this word tumultuous, right? That is English word. It's coming from the Sanskrit word tumulo. So many of the words have the root in Sanskrit, right? So this one example Prabhupada was telling, like Tumulo is a Sanskrit word and there is English tumultus. And similarly, Jagannath, right? What is the English word? Who knows?
Juggernaut.
Juggernaut means?
Difficult to.
The force which cannot be stopped. Okay. So all the Britishers, they wanted to stop the Lord Jagannath's Ratayatra cart. But they tried so much, they couldn't stop him. So then they named the word, English word, to signify that the force which cannot be stopped. That is Juggernaut.
Juggernaut. So Britishers did try to stop the Jagannath cart, right? It's happening from thousands of years. But because it was a culture, it's a main culture, right? So they always look, you know, points, key points, which if they break, the culture will get distorted, right? So they try to stop so many times. But today, so, you know, it happened, I think, last month, right? There were 12 lakhs people, 12 lakhs. You can just imagine that small city.
And also another point is that until this time we have seen, right, Duryodhana is approaching, Duronacharya is talking all these words. So all the army, as we have seen, it's in the battlefield. There is Kaurava army on one side, Pandava on the other side. They're just waiting for a signal to fight. So this blowing of the conch shell is starting that signal. Now so all the conch shells are going to be blown and then everybody is going to get ready for the war. Okay.
No purport for this.
Yeah.
Can go to 14. Text 14.
Text number 14.
Tata-svetaya-yukte mahati-sandhya-nisitau madhava-pandavas-chaiva divyau-shankau-pradamu.
I think we should repeat the verses twice.
Oh, is it?
So
okay. Oh.
Next time we get to
the... Okay, we'll read again. Tata-svetaya-yukte
Mahati Sandhani Sitao Madhava Pandavas Chaiva Divya Shanko Pradhanu.
Actually, before you came, I was asking how many of you read the verses before the whatever we discussed, and how many of you read the upcoming verses. So this is also one on, you were not there, so I want. So that also helps in that Sanskrit recitation. So when we read together, it will be easier to... Actually, we should also read. We don't read.
Okay. On the other side, both Lord Krishna and Arjuna, stationed on a great chariot drawn by white horses, sounded their transcendental conches.
Actually, from now on, what you will see is there will be certain signs of victory on the Pandava side. So there are like, I think, 5 signs totally among 2-3 purports together. So like you can note down them as separate category. So like if somebody asks in the exam, what are the signs of victory on the Pandava side, you can list all this. Right? So starting from this verse, you will see there will be totally 5 signs, I think. Okay, can you read the
point? In contrast with the conch shell blown by Bhishma Deva, the conch shells in the hands of Krishna and Arjuna are described as transcendental. The sounding of the transcendental conch shells indicated that there was no hope of victory for the other side because Krishna was on the side of the Pandavas. Jayastu Pandu Putranam Yesham Pakshe Janardana. Victory is always with persons like the sons of Pandu because Lord Krishna is associated with them. And whenever and wherever the Lord is present, the goddess of fortune is also there because the goddess of fortune never lives alone without her husband. Therefore, victory and fortune were awaiting Arjuna as indicated by the transcendental sound produced by the conch shell of Vishnu or Lord Krishna. Besides that, the chariot on which both the friends were seated had been donated by Agni, the fire god, to Arjuna, and this indicated that this chariot was capable of conquering all sides wherever it was drawn over the 3 worlds.
How many points?
So here here in this purport there are 2 signs of victory. What is the first one?
The
actually not that one directly. No, not that one directly. So directly if you see, because what is this Madhava? Significance of the word Madhava?
Husband
of goddess of fortune. So wherever husband is, wife will be there. So because Krishna is on the side of Pandavas, automatically fortune and victory is going to be there. So that is one sign of victory. One sign of victory is Krishna, husband of goddess of fortune, is on Pandava's side. And what is the second one?
Chariot
was donated by Agni, which is capable of conquering all the three worlds. Right? So that's another sign of victory. Do you want to add something? I have something else.
You have the Agni, you can tell them.
Yeah.
You can tell them.
Yeah. So this pastime of how this Agnidev has donated this chariot to Arjuna, we can discuss that briefly. I may not recollect all the details, but for what I can understand, remember. So once what happens, Krishna and Arjuna, they meet, and then Arjuna suggests Krishna, okay, we have a place where we have all like beautiful like arrangements, like very nice, comfortable arrangements, scenery, all those things. So let's go there, spend some time there together. We both are friends, we'll go and spend. Then Krishna said, okay, fine. So they both go there. After that, they go to one forest and they are doing something there. And then what happened? Then suddenly a Brahmana who is like golden haired, everything is golden, he comes. And then he says, I want some help from both of you. Then both of them, Kshatriyas, they are naturally very liberal to Brahmanas. They said, yeah, whatever you want, we'll give. Tell me what you want. Then he said, no, I'm not an ordinary person and my desire is also not ordinary. Then he said, okay, whatever it is, tell us what we can do. He said, like, no, I have this desire. I'm hungry. I want to eat something. Okay, what do you want to eat? Then he said, no, I'm Agnidev. Actually, I'm Agnidev. And I want to eat this forest. This forest is Kandava Vana.
Kandava Vana.
I want to eat this forest. Then he said, what is there? You can easily devour this forest. It's not a big deal. No. What's happening is, whenever I try to attempt to, like, let's say, devour this forest, Indradev immediately gives lot of rain, and it before even the fire starts becoming strong, he puts it off. So I'm not able to fulfill this desire. And actually, my desire is bona fide because I approached Brahmaji. Brahma, he is the spiritual master of everyone, right? So I asked Brahmaji, and Brahmaji said, actually, your desire is okay because he sanctioned me to fulfill this desire, and he also told all the living entities in this forest are very sinful and they are supposed to be died like this.
So there is one more point to that. Because he had Agnidev had a stomach problem. Because he ate lot of things which was made by too much ghee. So when you take something which lot of ghee, it causes stomach ache. So then he approached Brahma.
Mm.
Because he is he knows everything. So Brahma recommended that in this forest, Kandava forest, there are different herbs, everything. So you can take that herb and you can eat. So Agnidev decided to take, devour the whole forest. So that's one reason.
Yeah,
He was trying to eat the whole forest.
Yeah.
And Indradev was pouring. Whenever, because Indra's friend, we don't know the name of him. So he
Takshaka.
Used to live in the forest. Who?
Takshaka.
So he used to live in the forest. So of course, to protect him, Indradev was, pouring rain whenever he tried to.
Yeah, so then afterwards, then Arjuna said, okay, no problem, I will try to, and Agnidev says that Brahmaji told me that when you go to this forest, you will see two people, they are nothing, non-different from Nara and Narayana. Narayana is Krishna and Nara is Arjuna. So you go and ask them, they will facilitate to fulfill your desire. That's how I came here. Then Arjuna says, okay, no problem, I'm going to help you. But Krishna says, Arjuna doesn't have right now any weapons or any like things to help you, so can you give him something? Then immediately he calls Varuna. Varuna has lot of weapons, so he gives lot of weapons, and he also gives this chariot which conquers all the three worlds. And this chariot is like so much studded with so many jewels, it's like shining, like very brilliantly shining. It's like very, very special chariot. Then at that time Arjuna helps, and he tries to devour the forest, and Arjuna with his arrows, he covers the whole sky so that not even a single drop can fall of rain. And then that's how he fulfills the desires of Agni, and then he has this chariot as a gift from Agnidev.
So we have two signs of obviously in this verse.
Yes.
And you said like we will come across three more.
Three more. Yes.
Incoming.
Yes.
Different.
So you can
yeah.
give some gap in there.
Okay.
Okay. Another very important point here is that see the sound of Krishna. Somebody was saying right, sound of Krishna's and Arjuna's conch shell is transcendental. Mm-hmm. Sounded there, or rather the conch shells are called transcendental. So what does this transcendental mean? It, the Sanskrit for this is Divya. Divya. Divya is transcendental. So transcendental means?
Which is not only
three
modes of
nature. Yes. So it's above the three modes. It's above the three modes, and you were saying?
Spiritual. Something that's sublime.
Yes, exactly. Divine, sublime. Yeah, divine. That's correct. So Krishna, whenever Krishna or any of these things, right, anything associated with Krishna is transcendental. So Prabhupada was emphasizing so much in this lecture that, you know, Krishna is transcendental, and his name, similarly his name is also transcendental. So we may think, oh, easily I'm chanting holy name. After some time we feel like nothing is working, nothing is happening, then we start to take granted and, okay, what is even if you chant, if I don't chant, it's the same thing. We'll come to that stage, right? But we always have to hear about these glories of Krishna and his holy name, his pastimes, that these are all not ordinary. They are all transcendental. They are all spiritual. They all have the potency to purify us. So Krishna, Krishna's name, and also Prabhupada is saying Krishna's devotees are also transcendental. That's why here, Madhava, Pandavas, both of them are put next to each other. Madhava is Krishna, Pandavas is here is Arjuna. Right? Madhava, Pandavas, Chaiva. So both of their conscience are transcendental. Because devotees also, because of being constantly in touch with the Lord, they also acquire these transcendental qualities. So they also exhibit qualities which are like above this mundane three modes of material nature. They can, for example, conquer lust, greed, anger. Right? They can be above. Okay, for us, how do we practically show that we are transcendental? Like, how do we practically measure? Let's talk about that. Let's say day to day, if you want to see a certain person and you want to tell this person is above the modes, what are the symptoms you have to look, or how do we?
Macho Begum, something like he has control over what he is speaking.
Yeah,
he's at peace.
He's at peace, irrespective of that's a very important, many verses in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna tells like samodamo, right? Samadarshi. Yes, samadarshi. Like in even in happiness and distress, or like winter and cold. In all these dualities, he's fixed.
Sita prajna.
He's fixed. Fixed in what?
Fixed in
service to Krishna. So that's how we practically measure. If somebody, or we should try to cultivate. That's how we should try to cultivate this habit. Like whenever, while practicing devotional service, we will get some obstacles. Like, okay, today I didn't sleep well. Then tomorrow I can't get up, I can't chant properly. Or today I ate too much. So tomorrow I can't get up and chant properly, right? So then when that situation happens, do we give in and say, oh yeah, done, I can't do anything, give up? Or we try to raise above that situation and, okay, no, I want to still do my service to Krishna. At least try to do my service to Krishna. Then we are actually, because these things are now no longer affecting us. Right? So when such situation, of course we don't purposely do things to spoil our devotional service. Right? These are some examples we have given. But suppose, like, let's say today is completely raining. Right? Then I'm like, oh, outside if I see, I'm so depressed. Oh, I don't feel like going to temple. Right? Or today it's so bright, I want to go outside play cricket. So these are dualities, right? Dualities are going to attack us. So, but are we fixed on service to Krishna, even in those situations? Right? Friday, all of you have so many allurements. Right? Somebody says, oh, let's go to a movie. Somebody says, let's go to dinner. Somebody says, oh, there is a party at work. So many things. But still, are we trying to stick to this service we are doing to Krishna? Then we are gradually coming above the modes.
No, at this point it's a very good. I was just thinking today evening only. No, I just wanted to thank all of you because I have gone through this. Friday means when I was in college, school year. Friday means everybody, you know, they plan something or the other. From nowhere the idea comes actually. Friday evening only, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, you give your work or school, you take off. And you start planning so many things on Friday, right? So I was just kind of introspecting. All of you, like, you know, it's already, I think, 3 months or something. Mm. I don't exactly remember when we started. So every one of you, you know, you're trying to come Friday at the to peak time, 7 o'clock. That, you know, it's peak 7 o'clock. So I was thinking, you know, I should just thank all of you for, you know, that determination for, you know, to come to the class. And but it's worth it. At least
hopefully it's worth it. We cannot say it's worth it.
No, not like, right? But the some point of time.
Yeah. That's where we're coming.
No, it's not because of us or anything.
It's because of the
Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. That's the whole thing. We are just, you know, as we said, anything related to Krishna, discussing that, mm-hmm. it will purify the heart. At some point, some day, we'll all, you know, realize that actually.
It just attracts you.
Mm. And also, I was thinking, you know, to prepare for this class, we have to spend some time. So I was thinking we are getting more benefit actually.
Yeah, we are
actually.
Getting more benefit.
So we are forcing
us to study and forcing us to follow what we say.
And together we talk about something, points and all. So otherwise we don't discuss because we are not going to talk with anybody, right? So we just keep it. So I was just today only somehow I was introspecting. So that's good. And also she mentioned, right? So transcendental, this one, if we are not transcendental, you are under modes. And we know all the three modes. And the duality is the symptom of that we are under
three modes.
Whenever in any duality, right? If you cannot make a decision at given point of time, if you start thinking, you know, this may be good. If your intelligence is not clear, then naturally you will become bewildered. And the Bhagavad Gita and other books, the like purports reading that, it makes our intelligence very clear. So any point of time, anything, you can make a very clear decision and you can, you know,
actually
mind
one
is peaceful.
Neither the limit.
Yeah.
That's the point. That's yeah. Where they reach ultimately.
Yeah. Brahma Buddha Prasanna Panasutta. Yeah, actually one of our mentors, like, he takes so much inspiration from Bhagavad Gita. Whenever, let's say, there is some crisis in life or something, suddenly he opens some page somewhere and he can hear, I mean, that he gets the answer. Like, he has so much faith in the scripture and
Mahatma,
like,
Gandhi,
so
the
deep
same thing.
Yeah,
written here.
So like we are just like now only getting to peak of what it is and everything, so hopefully with the association, when we hear more, we'll also develop that faith. Another important point about this transcendental aspect of Krishna. See, we all are jiva, right? We are all jiva and we are influenced primarily by material energy. Even though we could be influenced by internal energy because we are marginal, right? But mainly we are influenced by material energy and we are under the three modes. By default or by design, we are under the three modes. But Krishna is above the three modes. So now let's try to understand how somebody who is within the three modes can approach or associate with somebody who is above the three modes. It's not possible, right?
Practically.
It's not practically possible. So the technique or the solution to this is given by Acharyas. He says that, what is that verse, Prabhu? I don't remember the first one. But save on mukho hi jihvadu. Jihvadav.
That's in next of instruction.
Yeah. Ata Sri Krishna Namadi Nabaved. Okay, I don't remember the exact words. But yeah. So it is said that sevon mukhehi jihvadav means it starts with the tongue. Jihva means tongue, right? Starts with the tongue. There are two things we need to do with the tongue which helps us in this process. What are the two things? Chanting the holy names, eating prasadam. Yes. These are the two things which are enough for us to approach that Supreme Lord.
He's laughing because I started with eating. So yeah, I'm eating.
Everybody starts with eating. Yeah.
It's
so
very
eating
important.
Prasadam and actually that seems so simple, But it's so potent. Eating Krishna Prasadam is so potent. It's said that especially in Kali Yuga, that is the secret weapon. If you want to bring somebody closer to Krishna, and if you can't talk to them about Krishna, best thing is make nice prasadam, serve them, secretly serve them. Don't even tell them it's prasadam. But it acts even then. So that is one thing. And then next one is chanting the holy names. Right? Chanting the holy names of Krishna. Hopefully all of you are chanting a little bit, right? How many of you are chanting? Everybody is chanting. Okay. Prabhu, you're old timer. Really? Okay.
So yes. In the purport, you know, it begins with says that in contrast with the conscience blown by Bhishma Deva.
Yeah.
So Bhishma Deva, though he was one of the Mahajans, but still his conscience sounding was not considered to be translated.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So Arjuna's and Krishna's was considered.
Yeah, that's correct.
That's
yeah.
very good.
Because of his my understanding is because of his, by virtue of his being on the Kaurava
side.
Because it's like once you associate with wrong things, at least he didn't manifest those things. Yeah.
So what are the two?
So how many of you offer boga at home, or no?
Not all the time.
Maybe little, not full lunch, dinner, not that.
Okay.
But prasadam in the morning when
oh.
we put. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, like for us, actually, you know, we are very selfish. Like, we don't have so much devotion that, okay, Krishna is there in my house, I want to feed him, right? That's actually, you have to come to that stage.
Yeah.
But now for us, it's like, you know, our teacher in Bhakti Shastri teacher, he was telling us that Krishna is not a purifying agent. You have something, you want to eat, go, offer, put some water, offer, take it out and you can eat now. He's not like that, but right now.
Yukta Vairagya.
Yeah, Yukta Vairagya. But we are at that level. So, at least we will try whatever we make at home. We'll, even though Krishna knows we are doing it as
isn't there specific guidelines like what type of food only, like you
yes.
can't make
yeah.
with onions or
yes,
garlic
yes,
or anything.
Yes,
so,
yes.
our regular food, if you are eating that,
that's
we
true. That's
so.
True. Yeah.
So
yeah. Practical. Yeah. At this point, I think we should offer even if you make with onion garlic.
Really?
I would suggest that.
Except
yeah.
not meat. That may be too much.
Not
is
meat.
It like that? I've heard that you should not offer onion garlic food.
Yeah.
It comes in the tamasic.
Onion because we don't eat onion garlic. Yeah.
yeah.
But it's still better.
What about roti lent roti smart? What about roti lent roti
smart? Roti lent.
Roti
lent.
Osco.
That's why this, we should offer everything. Because that will purify for some other.
At least that.
Sincerity
you know,
is there. That's
the see, because the thing is, Krishna, this is the thing which we always repeat and which I also want to imbibe. I also want to have my faith in this principle. Krishna sees our sincerity.
That's
he doesn't see the externals or the quantity or, you know, the comparison like, oh, I'm spending 6 hours in temple, other person is spending 1 hour, so I'm better devotee than other. Krishna doesn't see. Krishna sees the essence. Krishna sees the bhakti. Krishna sees the devotion. And he is from within. He's, you know, we all see from outside, but he sees from within. He knows
what is
the heart actually behind this. So maybe while offering like that, slowly he will help us also.
Mm,
like we will
right.
help us to get over it very quickly maybe. We can try.
For same context, Hariblas Prabhu gave one example. I think for a kid, one kid is giving one flower to his parents with love. So that love is the love matter. Doesn't matter the how big it is or how small.
That's correct.
So
yeah.
Even though it's a little flower,
yes.
but parents will be... too much obliged.
Yes,
like
yes,
the kid is giving me the love.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Another example with that is, right, sometimes the kids buy some gift for Father's Day, right?
Mm.
Kids buy some gift and give it to Father.
Mm.
But where did the money come from? Came from the Father. But when same money, he take, buy some gift, but Father is so happy that, you know, I'm still getting. He doesn't think, you know, it's my money like that. He doesn't think like
love
that.
Is
money. Love
yeah.
is, that's why it's very important.
Actually.
Sincerity and love is the main.
I recollect a very, very nice, funny pastime about our spiritual master. Like, he was telling when he was very small, like, he always had a this thing on his father's birthday. He wants to buy something to him. So every year he buys something. And what he does is, in the night when everybody is sleeping, he goes and steals the purse of his father, takes some money and buys and then gives. And father is so happy, oh wow, my son bought a gift for me. So actually, and the father later on, he tells his son later after many years, I know you're doing this, that's why I only used to keep the purse accessible. You go and take it and do this. No, it's, see, that's so much like,
yeah.
No, that's a token of love, which that's what matters most.
So if we offer with love and, you know, sincerity, Krishna will reciprocate. It's the same thing. It's the same relationship. It's all about relationships.
So what were the two signs of Pandavas victory in this paragraph again?
Okay, this is homework for Prabhu. Okay, nobody is going to tell that.
Mataji has answered.
Okay, if you want, you can help. I am going to give you permission, but now we are not going to discuss. Okay. So, next 15 is a big one, right?
Yeah, it's a big one. Okay. Anybody has any questions? Or we can end.